No. I want to thank people who've donated. I'm not going to read all the names, but people left their names on the I Don't Know page because we're trying to raise money for Cancer Care West. And I just want to thank you, if that's all right. PJ McDermott, very generous. We had a cash donation from a Highland listener. Eddie and Elaine Bradley, Helen Casey, Francis. Thank you very much. Mary also, Roisin McGeever, Ali Farron, Kathleen Dill, Niamh Shields, an old colleague, Joe Duffy, a current colleague, Josephine, Susan Peoples, Phil Barron, Teresa Gallagher, Eva McCarthy, Anna, Mary Crerand, K&K McDade, Kathleen Harkin, Colm Doherty, Grania Doherty, who was in with us earlier, I presume, Anne McNeilis, Margaret O'Donnell, Madge McHugh, Sinead O'Donnell, Breda Malloy, Dolores Boyle, Mary Bradley, Ronnie Keeney, Patrick Gilday Hairdressing, thanks Patrick and the crew, Linda and Barry Orr, Linda, who is a service user, has been a service user. We spoke to her actually, she featured in an online thing, we spoke to her down at the actual OB we did down there. Wendy McCarry, thank you. Fiona Malley, Deanne Gallagher, those that left their names, or at least some of them. Thank you so very much indeed for that. All of the money that you've so generously donated is going directly to Cancer Care West, a donation on behalf of the Highland Radio Stroke 9 till noon show family. We're going to be doing a walk in Ards Forest on Monday next. We're really looking forward to it. We'll be dipping in and out of this show as well. Donal will be presenting. As I say, listen, thank you so much. If you want to donate, you can call us here whilst we're on air on the radio station, 07491 25000. You can call in if you wish, or you can just go straight to the website, idonate.ie/Greg Hughes. Thank you so very, very much for being so generous. And what we're doing here, hopefully, will make a small difference, which is what it's all about, isn't it? Right, 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number. And you've been using it in your numbers today. Would anyone be able to advise our second level school children entitled to free textbooks, hardback copies, etc.? Someone mentioned it, but I have been unable to access information. Thank you. I know one of our listeners is going to be able to provide that answer very quickly. Our second level school children entitled to free textbooks, hardback copies, etc. Do you know if the water is off in the Carroll Rea Road area of Carndonagh? We'll check that out for you and let you know. Right, okay. So, plenty of coverage today of a survey which shows that bad driving habits are costing motorists hundreds of euro a year. Research by People Insurance suggests extra penalty points could lead to a 10% hike in premiums. Paul Walsh from People Insurance says official figures show bad driving is on the rise. Indeed it is, Paul, very sadly. Paul Walsh, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg.
I think there is this sense out there that the insurance companies aren't paying too much attention to penalty points. I'm not sure if anecdotally you thought that that may have been the general view in the public realm, but the research shows, research from your company shows, that's not the case.
Indeed. In fact, we've seen a big change, Greg, last year with the increase in penalty points for many motoring offences. So it went from 2 points to 3 points. And with that this year, Greg, what we've seen is that when we're issuing quotes for many of our customers with 3 penalty points, the prices are 10% higher than the very same quote would be without the 3 penalty points. So that little nudge up to 3 penalty points is now beginning to hurt in the pocket. And that's by as much as 10% for just 3 penalty points, Greg.
Right, okay. Now, in terms of a greater amount of points on your licence, because, you know, like I've only ever received 4 points, I think. And what happened was is I was down in Galway, not familiar with the roads, and I passed a speed van twice, right? So I got done twice. It was, I think it was a 30 or a 50, and I was doing 60 or 40. I can't remember exactly what it was. My point is I should have been more careful. I respect that. But, you know, accidentally, I would have had 6 points now. Does that have a greater impact on premiums the more points you accumulate, I wonder?
It does indeed. And unfortunately, it sounds terribly like a game show, doesn't it, Greg? Mm. The more points you have, the more it's going to cost you in your pocket.
Points mean penalties.
Penalty points mean more euros. And it doesn't just mean more euros now. You're going to carry that for the next number of years if you pick up penalty points. And you've got such an amazing range of offences now. You can pick them up quite easily. Holding a mobile phone, speeding, as you quite rightly say, just with a change of speed zones, not obeying a red light. You think it's orange, but the guardie think it's red. and a range of being unreasonable with due consideration on the road. They're all three penalty points, as well as that, a large range of offences. And now, for the first time, Greg, this year, we're beginning to see it count. Now, you'll pay that for the next number of years, as long as you have the points. And the more points you have, unfortunately for listeners, big heads up, the more points you have, the fewer insurers are going to look to quote for your business. So remember, long term, you want more insurers competing for your business. That's going to keep your price down. So as you go up the penalty point scale, less competitiveness for your quote, and therefore higher premiums for you. So just a heads up, not only will our roads be safe, but you'll be better off in your pocket.
And also too, no harm, I don't necessarily trust the insurance companies 100%. I'm just going to be straight up with you here. It'll be harder then to gauge reductions going forward, right? So say, for instance, there is a premium reduction once the penalty points are off your insurance. But then at that point, you're sort of in the trust game. You know, is this just a lower, or is this actually lower if you never had any penalty points at all, if that makes any sense?
It does. And in fact, the big question we've had from many of our customers, particularly seasoned customers, which is with an introduction of a cap on personal injuries and a remediation of that, why haven't I seen my policies going down by a large percentage? And that's been a big discussion over the past 12 months. Many of your listeners know we had a big Supreme Court ruling earlier this year confirming the government's ability to cap those awards. Notwithstanding that, it's a story of two halves, Greg. Experienced drivers with 5+ years experience and a full no-claims discount, they're finding their policies moderating in price. In fact, the last 3 years, we've seen them reduce. However, if you've got penalty points, if you've had an accident, or if you're a novice driver or young driver, you're paying a lot more. And so it's really a tale of two different two halves with this one when it comes to motoring.
And 500,000 people, is that correct? 500,000, in fact, more than 500,000 people have penalty points on their license. In all of this story, that's the one that blew me away.
It is. And in fact, we've got road fatalities up by 20% year on year. Okay, that's the pretty shocking news. Over 530,000 drivers with penalty points. Of that, Greg, 90% have 3 points or more. So a bit of a salutary lesson for us all. Time to slow it down a bit. Schools are back this week. Let's just think about it. Not only will our roads be safe, we'll be better off in our pocket, and probably a good heads up for, as the nights get a little bit darker as well.
Yeah, for sure. And just in relation to the industry, is this across the board? Like, and is it new? Because the main insurers, they do provide info on this on the website. Is it a relatively new thing that penalty points are being factored into premium quotations?
No, for quite some time. The government of the state has been looking for points to cost drivers. So it's a carrot and stick approach. RSA doing fantastic ads in terms of improving road safety. At the same time, they've been putting pressure on insurers to penalize people for picking up penalty points. For the first time, we're beginning to see with the move to 3 penalty points, a very clear delineation with 10% on your premium. So we're beginning to see that crystallize. There was some of that going on in the past, Greg. Now it's much clearer, and it's in that sort of region. And if you go up to 10 penalty points, Greg, it's over double the cost for your insurance. Mm-hmm. And as you say, once it goes up, it's a harder game to get it back down again, because less people want to quote for your business, and you're finding it harder to get those more competitive prices in the future.
Yeah, and if you reach the threshold and end up with a disqualification, obviously you become very unattractive to any insurer.
Yeah, of course, we do actually have special provision for people who can't get insurance and they need it for work, where it's not in the interest of the insurance industry and the insurers. It's not against public safety. They will find a home for you. However, people who get disqualified will pay a lot. The challenge for most of us, everyday usage, as you quite rightly said with yourself, it's inadvertently picking them up, changing a speed zone, picking up the mobile phone because it rang, leave it alone, turn it on silent, park it in the glove compartment and pick it up when you get out of the car. Otherwise, use it on Bluetooth. They're the most common forms of picking up penalty points at the moment for people right across the country, Greg. Speeding, using the mobile phone, not obeying the red lights and being inconsiderate on the road. And the last thing I say to you, just on this, young or novice drivers not displaying your L plates or N plates, well, that'll pick you up 2 penalty points plus also a fine. Now, that we haven't seen come through in price changes yet. that you get only 2 penalty points for that, Greg. But bear in mind, it's a bit like a slap on the wrist. One more offence and you're at 5. Now you'll struggle to get insurance next year.
Yeah, exactly. And it convolutes the whole situation because, you know, you have certain politicians that have been campaigning for, you know, some of the measures that you've talked of to for that to be reflected in insurance quotes. But then you've got the industry able to say, well, yeah, it is, but we're also having to penalise people because of penalty points. And it all gets very convoluted and confusing and what have you. And the best thing to do is keep it nice and simple. Have no points on your licence if you can, and shop around and see which insurance company is the best value for you. Paul, listen, thank you for that interesting info. I do appreciate it. That's Paul Walsh, Chief Executive Officer at People Insurance. I think they work with credit unions to provide insurance. In relation to Oasis getting back together, my old man in Croke Park in August, sure, what could go wrong? Well, hopefully they don't fail. They could possibly fail. That is certainly an option if you to use that analogy. Hi, Greg. Listening to you about the WhatsApp scam, this happened to me in Facebook and asked for a code. I blocked them straight away. It's the right thing to do. They asked for my mobile number, which I used for business. This is the same text. Hi, Greg. Listening to you about the WhatsApp scam, this happened to me in Facebook and asked for a code. I blocked them straight away. They asked me for my mobile number, which I would use for business. They had used a customer on Facebook, which I thought was strange as they weren't that close. Interesting. I live on the Mallon Road of Carndonagh and my water is off. Does anyone know why we had no notification of it going off? Let me just see if there's anything on the socials in relation to that. I mean, how do you get notification? Because I know they do put some stuff out there, but often it's in places that people don't see it. So let's see, Irish Water Donegal. Okay, latest. Go to latest on Twitter. Leak detection works may affect supply to on Clohan, on Brocha and surrounding areas from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Reservoir disruption or interruption may affect supply to Ireland's Burton Port and surrounds. That's been resolved, I believe. New connection works may affect supply to Shrove Castle and surrounding areas from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. But that's on the 29th of August. And on it goes. No, I don't see anything. I don't think I see anything specific to that area. I may have mixed up townlands, but there you go. On Clohan, on Brocha, I'm not really quite sure exactly where that is. My apologies. I'll have a look at the map and sort that out. But that's the only notification that I see up there on their website. So that's in the Clochbeg area, in the Clohan area, which is in the centre. Sorry, okay. Stranola Junction, how many car lorries go through the red lights when they're turning to go to Letterkenny Road at Maclay's Corner? Many, many, many do. And I'd be behind them. But also traffic coming the other way can be quite cheeky and not wait for the light as well and just see a gap and go for it. Our next guest is Carol Haslam, a mother of two who lost part of her arm through cancer, but has been given a new arm, I suppose. So how do you describe it, Carol? Is it a new arm? Is it a prosthetic arm? Because it's your sort of story. So kind of what do you call it?
I would just be, have I got the black arm? Because I have two different ones. So I have a cosmetic one that's kind of skin toned. And very randomly in my house, I quite often call out, has anyone seen my arm? So, and then they'll ask which one and I'll be like, the sparkly one.
Very good, because one has a tattoo on it, the sparkly one.
The sparkly one has.
Oh, there it is.
Cool. Tattoo.
Excellent. So, before we talk about it's amazing, and I think some people listening to it will be astonished how far advanced maybe technology has gotten. But I suppose the start of the story is getting a cancer diagnosis and all the trauma of that, and being told that you might lose your arm and what have you. I mean, how much of that do you want to talk about, Carol?
I'm okay to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Yeah. So how did it all come about?
So at the very end of 2016, I was away on holidays and I was getting a bag behind me and pulled and my hand kind of hurt a little bit. Mm. You know, I kind of got caught and it was like, oh, that was a bit sore. And the soreness didn't really go. So that was like November in 2016 and I was a florist. I had a florist shop in Dublin. And at the start of 2017, I had gone to the GP because it was still a bit sore. My hand was swollen. I had had carpal tunnel surgery the previous year on the hand, so I thought maybe there was something after happening there. And my GP sent me back to the clinic that I had had the carpal tunnel with. So it was a really quick whirlwind for me. I was seen in the clinic in March, and within 2 days I was MRI'd. 3 days later I was brought back and I was told I needed to be biopsied. And I was like, why do I, what? You know.
What's that got to do with carpal tunnel syndrome?
And when somebody says biopsy, your immediate thought goes to cancer. And I was like, that's not a thing. Who gets cancer in their hand? It's not. I'd never heard of it. It never entered my head. So I got biopsied a couple of weeks later, and then I was diagnosed with a cancer called sarcoma at the start of April. So it was like I was probably seen, biopsied, scanned within 3 weeks.
Amazing. And when did was the option put on the table that an amputation would be or might be required, or was it a choice you were given?
So I was given the diagnosis on a Thursday morning, and we were actually going away for 2 weeks the following day. We were going away for the Easter holidays with the kids. And I was like, okay, so do I need to cancel this? What happens now? And she said, no, go for your holidays because the team needs to meet. So there's this multidisciplinary team. So it's the surgeon, it's the medical oncologist, the radiologist, and they all decide what's the best options for a plan. So they were meeting while we were away, and I had an appointment with the surgeon for like the Wednesday after we came home. So in my head, and nobody told me this, but in my head, I was just getting the lump removed and then I'd be fine. But when I got to the surgeon, he checked my blood supply in my wrist by like making me do things. And he said, okay, so you might only need a partial amputation. And this was extraordinarily shocking. I was just going, what?
And were you selling flowers at this time, were you?
Yes, I was.
And that would do arranging and all that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, obviously both hands vital to your livelihood.
Yes, very
and
much
stuff.
So.
You know, that's significant, I would say, as well.
So we had been having conversations while we were on holidays. You know, obviously this is not something that you just shell for 2 weeks while you're away. So I had been saying to my husband, Kev, like, what happens if I lose some of the motion in my hands? And like, this is my job. This is what I do. As I said, I owned the shop, so it was literally my livelihood. And he was like, oh, look, if you lose a bit of motion, we'll deal with that as we go on and whatever. So when
good old Kev.
It went from losing a little bit of motion to like having at least a partial amputation. So we were just looking at each other going, oh my God, what's happening here? But sarcoma, my type of sarcoma, can be quite aggressive. So there was no option of not taking it out. It has to be removed.
So as you say, your partner and a mom as well. And you sort of, so were they able to tell you that, look, if we're able to remove all of the cancer, which obviously removing part of your arm, is it the type of cancer that if you can stop it spreading? I mean, obviously, there's no guarantees in anything, but was that part of the sale to you, that, look, if we can get it out now?
Yes and no. So sarcoma is the umbrella term, but there's like 100 different types of sarcoma. So for my type, which is called synovial sarcoma, it tends to reoccur. So between 2017 and now, I've also had a piece of lung removed because it came back in my lung. So it was kind of just put like, we need to take this out. Yeah. We need to have clear margins. Your hand doesn't give a lot of room for clear margins. There isn't, you know, so they have to take the tumor in one piece and they have to take a space around it. So there isn't room in your hand to do that.
It's just the structure of it and the complexity of it.
Yeah. So I had chemotherapy because they were hoping to shrink it enough for me to save my thumb, that I would have a grip because I'd had my two smallest fingers left. But chemotherapy didn't work for me. So it actually doubled in size in the space of time. So I kind of was thinking about it, and I was doing some research online, and the chances of it coming back in the same spot was incredibly high.
Yeah.
And my children were 9 and 11 at the time, and I was like, I'm not doing this again. I can't do this again. I need to make sure
We need to
I
do something
have the
definitive.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
as
need
much
to
as
make
we have
sure I'm
in
doing
our
the best I
control.
can
Yeah.
possibly do to make
Yeah.
sure I'm still here. So
Which is a huge, which is a huge reality that many people have, but many people haven't. When you're talking about your mortality here and your time left,
yes.
you know, there's no playing in that. That's a real proper
No.
big boy, big girl conversation with yourself, isn't it? It's a tough one.
Yes, and it's a conversation like you can involve everybody else around you, and I would have a massive support system. I'm blessed in that respect.
Yeah.
I have a really good family. My husband is fantastic. I have amazing friends, but it's a conversation you have to have with
100%.
yourself.
Yeah.
It's not, nobody else can make that decision for you. You
Yeah.
have to do it for yourself. Obviously, you can have input from everybody, but you still need to
You have the
do it
final shirt,
yourself.
don't you? So you went through the surgery, and of course it's not been plain sailing from there, as you mentioned, with the reoccurrence in your lungs and the operation you had to take there, your lungs, sorry, and the operation you had to take there. But just I suppose in terms of the amputation, then you have to. I mean, did you start? Had you processed it enough that, well, my arm's gone, part of my arm's gone, but I'm still here, and that's the important thing? Or did you sort of feel a little bit, well, I'm not 100% now. Can I contribute as much as I want to? I presume there's a lot of things going on there.
So it's really strange. I was 37 when I was diagnosed, so still fairly young.
It's
And
bloody young, Carol.
I'm going with that. So I was kind of going, I'm 37. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
What happens next? Both of my children have autism, so I was also carer to them as well as mother. And it makes Like I worked, but I only worked part time. And if I needed time off, it was fine. I had other people who could
That's
cover me.
the self-employment element of it, which was a
Yes.
benefit,
So
yeah.
I couldn't go into a job and say, I might need Tuesday, Wednesday this week, next Friday, and I might get called to the school on, Wednesday. It's just not viable. So it was like, am I just going to be at home? I don't do well with being not having something to do, it never ends in good things. So like there was all of that kind of stuff, but I always thought, okay, so it's either no arm or die. I'm good with no arm. Like I
Yeah.
will be here for as long as I can possibly be
Yeah.
here with the
I think
kids.
once you'd got to that fork in the road, and I would say getting to that fork in the road was the greatest challenge, but once you got there, it was easy for you to decide, as tough as the decision was, which path was the right one to take.
So I woke up one morning and said to Kev, so I've been thinking, and he just kind of looks at me and goes, oh, because he knows there's something coming. And he went, what have you been thinking? And I said, I'm going to get my whole arm off, my whole arm, my hand, and a bit of it. And he just went, what?
Yeah.
And he went, have you thought about this? And I was like, obviously, I've thought about this. It's not something I woke up one morning and decided. But I do wake up some mornings and decide random stuff, so it
Okay,
wouldn't
gotcha.
be an impossible situation. Do you know
Well,
what
I
I
think
mean?
it's the I've been thinking part that triggers him, that he knows something's
Yeah,
coming, and it could be
quite
anything,
possibly.
right? Okay.
Because he always knows something's coming afterwards. So he was like, okay, tell me why. So I was like, there's a huge chance of it coming back in the same spot, blah, blah, blah. I was like, and I'm not doing this again. I need to make sure I have the best chance I can have. I was like, and what am I going to do with two fingers anyway? That's not going to be able to do much for me.
But
So.
did you consider at that time the possibility of a prosthetic? Maybe you thought, did you think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that you could get one if you wanted to, that would, not necessarily be functional, but, would balance you out, or would.
So the very first conversation I had with the surgeons in Capital Hospital, I was told that I could get like a partial prosthetic of the fingers, but they wouldn't do
Yeah.
anything. And so prosthetics were always in my head from the very start. So then I went and spoke to the surgeon again, and I told him like I want all of it, and we had a discussion about it. Obviously, he didn't just go, yeah, fine. We had a discussion, the pros and cons, and And he was like, realistically, at the end of the day, the decision is yours. He's like, I'm happy to do either operation, you know. He's like, but yeah, we will go ahead if that's what you want to do. Mm. But then you have an appointment with prosthetics before you have the operation. So I had also been looking at prosthetics online and I had found these robotic ones. And I went to prosthetics and I had a discussion with them. And so it was going to be a below just my wrist. It would have been removed at the wrist. And for me to get the robotic arm, I would need more arm off.
That's interesting, isn't it? That you actually moved the line up to accommodate the best arm or the arm that you wanted. Wow, that's even in itself is a big decision. Not taking all the couple of inches off. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I think it means taking about another 5 or 6 inches off. So it went from my wrist to literally the middle of my arm. So it's quite a big amount of space.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And sometimes you forget you don't have it. So, like, I was playing with one of my nieces one day and I flipped her over my arm and realised I had no arm to flip her over. And it was a very...
Yeah, I had a mate who had his, following a car collision, had his leg amputated. And he would find himself getting out of bed in the morning. His brain was, as far as his brain was concerned, he'd be placing 2 feet on the floor. And the amount of times he went over and knocked his head off the side cabinet, and his brain never really fully got used to that because then he would spend a lot of the time with the prosthetic. But anyway, so that's actually quite interesting that it was like a phantom arm, effectively, your brain had.
Yeah, because you just kind of think it's still there because I think it might be different if you were born that way.
Of course,
to having it there. But like I have all the nerves and I have the muscles and I have everything and I'm used to it. So like we were playing and as I said, I flipped her over my arm and she kind of slid off the bit that wasn't there. Now I got her. Luckily.
And so then, I mean, I suppose we have to fast forward, you know, going through the consultations and the fittings and all that kind of stuff. I suppose the question to get to now is, because you can do a lot of stuff, with this new limb of yours now. How does the technology work in that you can control the digits or the movement of the arm?
So you have the muscles in your forearm is what controls the hand. Mm. So if you contract your muscles in your actual hand, your fingers will move.
And is it a digital, is it an electronic sort of signal? It's not obviously going to be
so
like
two
pulleys.
There's two contacts here and here on the arm. And they have to touch skin. So when they feel the signal going to the hand, that's when they move.
Wow.
So I think about it and I make the muscles in my arm move and then the hand moves.
What if you can't see your arm? Does that...
If you can't see your arm, sometimes that's a little bit more difficult.
Wow, okay.
Sometimes it will work. Like if I put my hand behind me, sometimes it will work, sometimes it won't. Solely because you're not looking at what you're doing.
It's amazing because this is the brain now and this is amazing. Can you make a fist? Can I see you, what you can, the movement you have with it? Wow.
Right, so that's a pincer grip and then you can change that and that's a...
Oh, that's for Kevin, that one.
Yeah.
I mean to punch him, by the way. Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, we can cut that out. I meant... all right, anyway, obviously he's a good... He's a good man. Why would you? And that's amazing. And I don't hear like, you know what I mean? It seems to be really, and now
is,
maybe it's been muted
small,
by the Zoom, but.
There is small, you can hear the noise of the hand opening and closing, but it's not
intrusive.
Really loud. Like if you're in a room and you're opening and closing it and there's people there, you're not going to hear
because
there's background sound. But like I'm here on my own. So I can hear it opening and closing.
And the signals from your brain are sent to that via the contacts in your arm. Isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And the cost? I mean, I'd be interested if listeners were to guess in their minds the cost, because I probably would have gone 250, 355. I don't know, because this technology is, it seems to me, next world stuff. But, like, was it a... Do you mind talking about the cost? Was it a huge...
Yeah. So I actually didn't fund the arm myself because it's €35,000.
Yes.
And I just don't have €35,000.
Neither
you know,
do I.
It's just not viable.
Yeah.
After some tussling with the HSE, they funded half of it.
Okay.
And then I fundraised for the rest.
But 35K for the technology and the ability of what it gives you, it's you know, I mean, obviously it's not your original arm, but my word, that's really impressive tech.
Like it's not your original hand, and it's not going to do everything you could have done. But like, I was cooking dinner last night, and it sounds ridiculous, but I was holding the onion with this hand and chopping it.
Yeah.
And it stayed in the same place, and I could do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm doing that one-handed, the onion is moving all over the chopping board, and it takes so much longer, and you can't do it as precisely. But because I was holding it in place with this hand, it was perfectly normal, you know.
I know. And also, too, and I know your kids are a bit older now, but still you want them to see mommy doing the stuff mommy wants to do as well, so they have peace of mind and that.
I've always been massively independent, and when you become dependent, that's quite difficult, you know. Now, I ask for help if I need help, and I'm not shy about asking mm-hmm. for help if I need help, but it can be quite difficult sometimes when you're so used to doing things for yourself, and then all of a sudden you can't do things for yourself. And it's things like tying your shoelaces. Can't tie your shoelaces with one hand, you know.
Yeah.
But I can now.
Wow.
Because I can hold and I can walk around it.
Yeah, of course. And you adapt, don't you, Carol? And I've given what you've been through and all the choices you've had to make, and maybe it's just, I don't know if it's actually real or not, but you didn't get a tattoo previously because you were afraid of pain. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't really like pain so much.
Okay, well, there you go. So that gives an extra significance then to the tattoo that you were able to put on your...
I was getting this arm, they were asking what design I'd like, and I was like, I'd like it to be sparkly and funky. And he said to me, do you want a tattoo? And I was like...
I love it.
You know what? I think I do want a tattoo. So I got a sunflower, which is my favourite flower, but it's also the symbol for sarcoma. It's the internationally recognised symbol for sarcoma. So it was kind of a two for one for me.
A twofer. Okay, brilliant. Okay. So if anyone's listening... Sorry, I'm asking you questions that maybe this is to ask whomever supplied the arm to you, Carol. But if someone was listening and they had a similar story to yours, right, but it was a couple of years ago, can this be done retrospectively, do you know, or is it sort of something you have to do as you really need to be working on as part of the process?
No, you can do it retrospectively. So, like, I had the arm removed in 2017 and I didn't get the first robotic arm till, like, 2020.
Okay, there you go, right.
So, yeah, it can be done afterwards. And even if you don't have as much arm off, they can walk it. It just means the limb will be longer.
Mm. All right, listen, it's been a very interesting story, Carol, on many levels. Perhaps less the least part of it, the actual arm itself, even though that's fascinating, but just hearing about you and your story, and it's so typical of what many, many people go through. It's very tough. Life can be really, really tough, and we have to, you know, face stuff at times, and particularly as we get older. But for now, Carol, best wishes to you and Kev and the children, and we really appreciate your time today. Thank you very much. And if anyone wants more information, presumably about... you know, cancer more generally, they can go, can they? I presume, is it one of the bigger, is there a specific specific information relating to sarcoma or just generally sort of like the Cancer Society?
We actually set up a charity in the last couple of years, Sarcoma Cancer Ireland, because there was no information here when I was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So that's changing now. So we have a website they can visit, sarcoma.ie. And they can contact us through there.
All right, listen, the best of luck with everything into the future. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye, take care. Stanley, my apologies for holding you. How are you getting on, Stanley?
I'm doing the best, enjoying the sunshine.
Good man. We're talking petrol prices and the variance, really, in petrol prices, Stanley.
Well, I was out for a run on Sunday and we were going through Donegal town. It was 1.83 per litre for petrol. We come through the Twin Towns, it is 1.80, and we come on down then to the Schoolie, which is 1.56 for petrol and diesel, and it's 1.75 for petrol in Castle Finn. Mm-hmm. So that's an awful difference in 27 pence, I think it is.
Per litre. So that's
per
2.70
litre.
For
so that's
10
a lot
litres,
of money in the full of a tank.
Especially over time, so Stanley.
But how can there be such a variation? How can there be so much difference? That's what I would like to know. I mean, there's a lot of money for the full of a tank. If somebody was filling the tank, it'd be 10 or 12 euro.
And also, too, Stanley, also, too, it's often the same, I would say it's the same yoke that drops the petrol off at one station and travels north and drops it off in another.
I would think so. I would think so. I just thought it was enough difference, and the people should know where the cheapest is. And it is. There's no people say, but if it's cheap, they're not getting the quantity. But the quantity is there because I check it myself every twice a week.
Yeah, I have a fair idea of most of the places you're talking about. And the problem is that there are exceptions, but generally speaking, the petrol and diesel price in an area will be very similar. It's only when you travel to a next town that you might see the change. But if there's two or three stations in that area, often their prices align. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like like someone from Liscooley travels down and starts charging 1.56 for a litre of petrol in Donegal town. You know, there's one place is seemingly a little bit more expensive than others. But generally speaking, in the same catchment area, the prices are similar. It's only when you travel to a different town or a different area that you see these big changes. So there's obviously a little bit of discretion being used on the price of petrol there, Stanley. And I suppose it's up to each private business to strike their own figure.
But I thought that it had to be. Is there nobody to check it? Can they just charge at the lake? Is that the way?
I don't know. Yeah, they could charge you €5 if they want.
Now I can understand the men that is. The men that has the people attending the pumps for you, people that, there's men, they can charge a few pence extra because they have to pay the men, but the rest of them shouldn't have to.
I saw a young person, now, in this day and age, you have to be careful that maybe they had a disability or not, but I didn't see anything that indicated that. And they got the petrol put into the car by a person, and they gave the young fella the card to go in and pay for it. What do you think about that?
very, very good. It's trustworthy.
And as I say, there was nothing to indicate a disability, and not all disabilities are visible, but the person who I'd be familiar with doesn't have one, and I think it was just maybe a little bit of laziness, but don't say anything, Stanley.
Well,
yeah, all right. And the thing about it too is, Stanley, I don't know where you are, but let's just say you were in Castle Finn, right? It's probably not going to still be worth your while, is it? Because you'd be burning fuel to travel to Liscooley to save the 20 cent, or maybe it would, I don't know.
Well, if you were filling your car for a mile and a half up the road, it's cost, you're saving a tenner.
Oh, true. Well, wouldn't worry too much about that. All right, okay. Well, listen, it pays to shop around, and maybe, you see, we don't shop around. Like, people stop at a place because it has nice jambons and don't look at the price of petrol.
Yeah, that's all. Well, that's everybody's different.
Right, okay.
Everybody's different. I just thought I'd ring in and let people know.
Thanks,
just
Stanley.
Why I couldn't understand why they're 27 pence a difference.
I know, it's crazy. Did you scoot around just, or did you go visit anything on the wee day trip?
No, we're just out for a tour. We're just out for a run.
Very good. In a nice modern car, or do you have a classic car or anything? No.
No. Mine's one of the old type ones.
You're all right. Listen, Stanley, thanks for that. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Not at all.
Safe journey.
See you later. Thanks
for shop wisely. All right, good man, Stanley. Yeah. Yes, I say, I mean, it's up to businesses. It's up to businesses to do what they wish. Geraldine watching the show on Facebook. An amazing woman. Indeed, she was. I want to say good morning to Kathy as well. Fellamy, thank you very much for that information. I just can't necessarily access it just at the moment, but I appreciate it. Audrey Nealis, good morning to you. Beth, Darren, always good to have your views as well. He said, will you tell Christy many kids have to walk to school through wind, rain, hail and snow? Do they not deserve a bus like the refugees get? Well, Darren, and I know where you're coming from, and I know you have your point of views on that, but all children should be treated equal. And I don't think any person would want anyone treated different to anybody else. And, you know, we want an equal society going forward, don't we? And I don't think anyone would disagree with you. Hi, Greg. Can you please ask Brendan Devaney? Now, it's not up to Brendan Devaney to answer this, but can you please ask why it was €15 to get into O'Donnell Park Saturday night, yet Derry Senior Championship week prior, fiver? I don't know. Different places, I suppose. Has medical card holders have to pay part of their school bus ticket this year? Ringing bus errand number will not get through. Emailed them, no answer. I don't know the answer to that question either, but I'm sure a listener out there will know. Let us know. I agree with Christy about traffic on the back road around Letterkenny, about walking to school with our weather. We can't expect children to sit in wet clothes all day. That is, I mean, listen, that is a fact, isn't it? And that would have happened all throughout the summer. The weather was brutal. Greg was thinking recently, down in Naas and Athlone, with good bus services, Letterkenny is well behind. Regarding schools, no child walks to Lurgy Breck School. It's too dangerous. Not enough buses. Thanks, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. And I wait with great interest to see, you know, what this Letterkenny, not that I'll be using it much, but what this Letterkenny bus service might look like. There's a few things that I think are obvious. I hope they're included, which I'm not sure they will be. But anyway, Hugh is with us. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, Craig. How's it going?
Not too bad. That insurance guy has some neck on him, your text started. Why?
I just think he talks about options. He talks about shopping around, and every time you do that, the prices still go up.
Yeah. You have a couple of policies, don't you? Are they commercial or private?
I have two commercials, but my wife also has a private policy as well.
And there's no points in play. There's no points in play, so you it's a level playing field. You know what the crack is. Were you able to get the premium for less, the same, or more?
It ended up more for both policies.
Okay.
I actually had to downgrade one of the policies. I took off the one screen breakage just to get it down to a manageable level.
Yeah.
So, I don't see how that...
I know, I get where you're coming from, Hugh, and I know it's frustrating when you hear someone talking about, you know, your penalty points, your insurance will go up. Your insurance went up, there ain't no penalty points.
Exactly, yeah. On two policies. And just as we speak now, my wife is trawling through the internet looking for a quote for her car.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is coming back at a colossal price.
Wow. So shopping around ain't going to work for you guys?
It's not working. Like, I've over 40 years driving experience.
Yes.
And I've claimed once for a... maybe twice for one screens.
Mm-hmm.
I have no penalty points and I'm still being treated like this. I think it's ridiculous.
Do you mind me asking how much the policy is?
My van policy is about, I think, was 560 this year.
Right.
And that's increasing year on year now. Mm-hmm. Maybe 50 euro, 100 euro. The car policy, we got a quote done for 535.
Yeah.
And when my wife checked around today, she's getting quotes between 700 and 900.
So you're going to be stuck with the one that's increased the premium on you for no reason, really. We're supposed to be seeing insurance coming down, not going up. That's what we're being told, because if you, God forbid, had to claim and you were injured, you're getting less for your injury. So that should lead to lower quotes. Okay.
Well, that's what we were being told when Pierre Story took them on a couple of years ago, that once we got the payment settled, that they should see a decrease, but it's not happening.
All right, Hugh. Listen, it's frustrating. Thanks for that, Hugh. I appreciate it. Safe journeys. That's a typical example. Now, some might say Hugh's both policies are relatively cheap compared to what some are paying, but it also depends on the vehicle and the amount of miles that you do. The bottom line is no penalty points in the house, and the van, commercial and private car insurance have both went up. So it feels like when he hears people talking about, you know, no penalty points, keep your insurance low, it can be frustrating. A caller says the government is scamming us every day and there's not a word about it. We all have to pay on our wages, tax, I presume. This was to be a short-term measure, but it's still ongoing. That's probably the UFC, but it's that temporary tax. Remember, they introduced it. We also pay the government for the use of our own houses in terms of a household charge. It seems like the only one in Ireland who's on the win-win is the social welfare person who has everything paid for. A social welfare payment, by the way, just they pay tax. Someone on social welfare pays tax, firstly, when they're working, so they're entitled to that, and we're all entitled to it. And secondly, everything you purchase, there's a tax on it as well. So I get where you're coming from. I'm just not a big fan of, like, you start off angry at the government and then next thing we sound like we're angry at social welfare people. The government make the decisions. The insurance will never come down, no matter what, believes the listener. Another on that issue, insurance companies will always crane us for mugs. I'm driving instant free for nearly 50 years, yet my premium rises every year. Yes, I have 65% no claims bonus, but the initial premium is raised, so the NCB is ineffective. I got my quote last week. It was 460. I checked online, as advised by you, and found that all the online quotes were dearer than my renewal quote. I found this myself on a couple of things. There seems to be the insurance companies seem to be applying now a loyalty bonus, even though the prices are going up, right? So they're not going up as much as they had in the past. And it seems to be this that they're trying to reward loyalty, I think, at least some of them. And it means shopping around is getting more complicated. But anyway, I then went onto the website of a company that quoted me €600 in the price comparison site. I got a quote for €390 from this company for full comprehensive. It seems the price comparison sites are now in on the ripping of customers off. The motorist can't win. So €460, I got a quote for €390. Is that not a reduction, though, of 70, unless I'm missing something? But OK, I'll take your point. That's your lived experience. Listening to your show, traffic lights at Cockhill Road is a waste of money from a man who uses that road daily. All right, thank you for that. Hi, Greg. I disagree with you about Letterkenny narrow roads. Letterkenny was a two-way street back in the 70s with both parking on both sides. The council made a mess of the town with parking and planning. We had wide roads till the council made the wider paths. Yeah, I take on board if you take the... if you take door-to-door the distance between businesses on either side of the street, you probably could do better with that space. Okay, so I take your point. You're probably correct there. A caller says, you don't need to be an engineer to know that what works or doesn't work. That Polestar road in Letterkenny is a disaster and most people knew it as it was being done. Same with several jobs, including piers around the county. Maybe they should listen to the local people rather than these so-called engineers. Another caller says... if our own nurses and young professionals are leaving this country because of the cost of living is so much here and their wages won't cover things like mortgages, childcare, insurance, etc., and so we're bringing in foreign workers to fill these positions who tend to bring their whole families, which consists of children, parents, etc., which would tend to put pressure on schools, housing, healthcare. What I'm trying to say is pay our young professionals proper wages to keep them here, and then we wouldn't need to bring in as many foreign workers who bring their families, so less pressure would be put on housing, etc. Would that not make sense? The only thing is if you actually look at the statistics, the amount of people that are non-Irish in this country, and then you take out those that maybe were born in England, Irish parents, and have moved back to the family homes and all that kind of stuff, there's not as many there that should collapse a country in terms of its infrastructure. But anyway, that is, as the saying goes, it is what it is. Not a big fan of that saying, but anyway. All right, back with you tomorrow morning. Stay tuned. Michaela Clark's Around the Northwest next.